Welcome to Tuesday Talk with Dino, Tosh, and Donnie.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that.
Welcome back.
I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
Boys.
I see the girls in
welcome
the
back.
Donnie.
Dino,
this,
Tosh.
Wow.
This is crazy. Crazy. We're back.
My name is Dean Holine.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's your fella's name?
I couldn't even find my headset, and we can what we were supposed to do this yesterday, right, Donnie?
Yeah.
And we figured out that you forgot how to run the machine.
Yeah, it turns out when you leave a computer dormant for 6 months, none of your things are on there anymore. So yeah, that was a bit of
this is crazy. I don't
to
even
be,
know.
To be honest, though, I mean, we have that pretty well every time we try to get together, don't we?
Yeah.
It's a common thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not going with technology, guys. And I shouldn't be leading this, but I happen to be in a building that has a computer. So
you're the talker.
Yeah, you are. We couldn't do it without you.
Well, no,
you
know, absolutely.
Thank you to all our friends at the GOAT.
The hostess with the mostest.
That's right. I don't even know if we'll be good at this anymore. I don't know if we were good at this in the first place, but, I mean, just the conversation just to let – well, now we're probably down to three listeners.
Three listeners, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Burgess.
But yeah, Burgess will be there. But, I mean, the thing, too, is, like, we had a half-hour debate on what we were going to talk about. We couldn't even remember when we did this last. But when did we do it last?
July 7th.
July 7th, 2022.
And prior to that was 2022, boys.
Right.
Yeah. So,
like
I don't even know why we're doing this.
To do – was get a lot of people talking. Hey, where's the podcast, boys? And when we got enough ass, we're like, well, let's bring it back then. Does that seem right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I think
there's
so.
There's been a lot going on.
Well, sure. Life gets busy. The program is busy. You guys are busy. I'm averagely busy. But trying to line up three guys' schedule, it's tough. So we're going to make a more conscious effort to schedule a time, like a regular podcast would, every week and record something. It's funny how if you set it in your calendar, it's a good reminder. But when you just kind of wing it and I see you guys at practice, hey, boys, how's it going? We should do a podcast. Yeah, good idea, Donnie. Let's get on that. And then crickets. To be fair, you're all very busy. And there's Christmas is a busy time. Tournaments, lots of travel. It's a lot. So I'm happy to be back. You guys look great. You know, I feel like I haven't driven a car in 10 years, and I'm back behind the wheel. It feels nice. It feels nice.
Well, I mean, it got going. Like, the history of this podcast got going because of the chicken farmer said that we should do something, and everybody's heard that story a million times. And we got going through COVID when we didn't have a lot going on. And I think, you know, really, that's the way the world has gone. Like, we're pretty much back to normal as we're going to be. And yeah, it just gets busy. There's lots going on, you know? So I think that was part of it. Part of it was I think we had some awesome guests, like right off the rattle. And like in our first year, we were just banging out awesome guests after awesome guest. And we kind of maybe ran out. Our Rolodexes were kind of empty at that point. But now the beauty is, fellas, we can recycle all of them.
Oh, they're all coming back.
Right? You know, I like it. I like it. I like being back. It's fun.
It is fun.
This is going to be fun. Yeah.
So where do you want to start? I mean, we have a whole 6 months worth of information to pile in, but we can't probably do it all. And mostly because Dean won't remember it anyway. But where do we go?
Where do you want to start?
Or what's already happened?
Well, I think we got to kind of give a little bit of
a little bit.
We're about halfway home right now, right? Sure. Like we've had some great tournaments that went in 2023, and obviously looking forward to what's coming up next. But I think we should touch back, maybe go back to a few good tourneys. And
well, we did try something new this year that we've never done, and that was to split the teams to two different events in two different states at the exact same time. That was new. So we took our odds, our nines and our sevens to, not that you're odd, Donnie, but you were in Nashville with the odds, as was I.
Yeah.
And the evens.
Proof is in the pudding. you know?
Yeah, and the evens, the six and eights went – six and eights? No, six no. and eights right. went to went to Arizona, and I thought it was awesome. One thing it did do is take a lot of pressure off the hotel, took a lot of pressure off scheduling, that sort of thing. So this whole taking four teams, we've already done it once this year. We've talked about it. I don't think we're doing it again to the same location. So that was a great learning experience for us. And, I thought it was great. The odds did pretty well in Nashville, and the evens did very well in Arizona. And Dino's probably got some stories about Arizona, maybe a home plate conference where you met somebody you didn't expect to meet.
I know. Well, we were playing Team Kobasu, right? So yeah. I'm thinking, okay, well, cool. Yeah, it's a hockey name. Kind of had a
pretty common name.
I'm thinking, well, it can't be Chuck Kobasu, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, hi, I'm Chuck. Again, I'm looking at him. I'm like, well, okay, what a coincidence that this fellow's name is Chuck. And all of a sudden, you know, we get into the game a little bit, and we were on the first base side. So when we were hitting, I was in the third base coach's box, and he's kind of chirping a little bit and, you know, saying hi and, hey, I'm a Canadian, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, there's too many coincidences here. And sure enough, yeah, this is Chuck Kobasu, man.
Okay. Whoa.
What?
You're at the plate conference. You know, his last name's Kobasu, and he introduced himself as Chuck, and you didn't think it was Chuck Kobasu because it's such a common name.
Well, at the time, because I'm, you know, there's so many things as a coach that we're preparing. You know, my mind wasn't you know, la di da thinking about the NHL stuff. I'm thinking about my priorities as a coach,
right?
Know, like what you would do, I'm sure.
Right. So you didn't ask for his autograph until you realized who it was.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. No, that's pretty cool. When you said that, you gave me a call and said, "Hey, guess what? Guess who we played today?" I was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool."
Do you boys ever think that at a plate conference, they always say, hey, I met the Dean Holine or the Keith McIntosh? That's probably
likely. It's usually the Dean Holine thing. You usually get that where they obviously all of a sudden get intimidated, right?
Well, they should.
You know, they do, for sure. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
100%.
Can we go into to Nashville, Arizona? So,
hey, wait, we're on Chuck Kobasu. I want to just say, just in case there's, you know, obviously – some relatives of his maybe listen to the podcast or whatever. You know,
who are you kidding? You're going to text them right. You're going to text them right away and say, "Hey, man, I mentioned on our podcast."
Well, we do.
Can I get tickets to the next Avalanche?
We do chat occasionally.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he was fantastic for us, and honestly, without, you know, like this was our first trip going down to Arizona.
Yep.
The organization, I think the tournament part of it was fantastic, but the head guy that was trying to help us out with games, and obviously, you know that our midweek games are more important almost than our tournament. You know, the tournaments are easy. You register and you go. The work that goes into the practices and the exhibition games, that's the big thing. And when we showed up there, you know, I didn't want to really let the cat out of the bag, but they kind of dropped the ball on all of our weekday stuff. They said, hey, we're going to look after you. Everything's going to be fine. But at the end of the day, we were like 2 days away and we still were struggling for exhibition games and stuff. So Chuck kind of came through. He was big for us. He had he has a really, really good, I think they were a team of 2010s, and they gave both of our teams lickens at times. So they were a great competition for us, but he also helped with setting up games throughout the week and locations and stuff. So, hats off to him because that was great, and hopefully we get to see him a little bit more in the future.
I'm just throwing it out there, but the obvious would be a podcast guest, maybe.
Well, you know, I'm kind of buttering him up here a little bit.
Right? Well, let's wait till you guys have, you know, chatted a few more times and exchange.
He would have some great stories for sure. Let's and he's a good old
let's
boy.
Let's get more
guys.
Than one every 6 months under our belt before we start lining up guests. Anyway,
right.
So
you think?
So the tournaments. So, and I know there's a lot of moving parts. So I get told at one point, "Hey, Donnie, you're going to go to Arizona," and I'm pretty excited about it. Haven't been in a while. So all the kids at practice, "Donnie, who are you coaching?" "Well, I'm going to Arizona." "Oh, nice. See you there. Can't wait." But a week before the tournament, I get a call from Maddie Garchinski. Don, are you going to Nashville? Nope. I'm going to Arizona. No, Donnie, I don't think you are. I'm like, well, I've told all the kids I'm going, and I'm feeling like I'm going. And then Tosh calls 4 minutes later. Hey, change of plans, bud. You're going to Nashville, which is great. Because I'm going to say this in all honesty. What was the temperature in Arizona, Dino? It was 100 degrees.
It was ridiculous.
And a guy, I don't know if anyone, any listeners haven't seen me, but a guy of my size and frame, the heat, it's not great. I don't enjoy the heat as much as maybe a razor would. So it worked out good for me. I'll say that personally.
Yeah.
I would have been a greasy stain on the turf in Arizona after day one. Yeah. So
you guys were hot down there too, weren't you?
Well, it was hotter than the year before, but it wasn't certainly 40 degrees. Yeah.
No. So,
four team tournament. I appreciate you looking out for the four of us who have to throw batting practice to four teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough assignment to draw, you know? So two teams. Yeah. I could do that in my sleep. Four teams, yeah. It's tougher. So, yeah, I think in terms of resources, I think it's a hotel, yeah. Parents, sure. Diamonds, problem. Pitchers to throw 700 pitches, that's a problem too. So I think this is going to work out for everyone. All in all, a great organizational move on the twos behalf.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is people maybe don't see this, but, I mean, the nice thing about, you know, if we are going to add a tournament or two, staying on the same weekend, it helps – with all the rest of the programming that we have at home here, right? So we have to always, you know, just adding a tournament isn't just as easy as just saying, hey, we're going to add another trip and here we're going. We got a lot of stuff at home here that we've got to take care of too. So that's part of it.
And I think the thing that goes unsaid, and it probably should be said, is Dino and I are pretty much sick of rooming together all the time. And this way we split the teams and we both get a good night's sleep.
It's been said, bud.
Yeah. It's been said, yeah. Donnie, so I got a question for you. Okay, sure. So you had the quick changeover,
yep.
Right? Unbeknownst to you, and apologize for that, but Maddie's got a big mouth apparently. Indeed. So, but what I'm saying is, what would be your position on the softball field?
What's your position?
Yeah.
Why? Well,
you're like third base,
third
right?
Base, yeah.
Corner. Yeah.
I'm a piano mover, so I'm on the corners, yeah.
Yeah, so as a coach, would you say you're a utility coach? Just kind of go wherever you need to go,
hey,
do whatever you need to do.
Needs, I'm a jackknife.
There you go.
Wherever you need me, I'll go. You know,
Swiss Army. Yes, very nice. Yeah, because we're kind of in the same boat in March.
We are. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. You could be going to Stockton, or you could be going to Sacramento.
The difference here is I'm going to California.
True.
It's either right. way. I'm going, which is good. I guess the biggest waiting thing for any of the coaches listening is it's almost like it's draft day. You know, I'm sitting at home by the phone just waiting for that call. Where am I going? What round am I going in? Or sometimes the phone doesn't ring. And that's a lonely, not required thanks is a tough message to read on the instructor sheet. So it's good to know that I'm going, and where I'm going at this point doesn't matter. Any team that you're going to coach is full of talented kids with good parents, and we're in a good venue. And given that it was minus 700 here the last week, California sounds pretty nice. So Vegas coming up doesn't look like great weather, but guess what? It's not in Vegas.
Yeah.
Minus 700. So either way, I'm coming out on top.
Yeah. 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 And I think, Vegas is one we always, if we're on that topic, we're always looking forward to it. And it's always a crapshoot on the weather. We never know what we're going to get. We've been very fortunate most years that every time we go there, you talk to, you know, we had Allie Bradley or you had Odie or Gordy, and everybody's saying, hey, yeah, you guys are lucky you're here at this time because we're having unbelievable weather. One year it did snow. But the other thing, too, is we got to look at is they moved it a week forward, right? Or a week back, I guess, forward. I don't know, earlier. It's a week earlier than in past years, the last couple of years, because of Super Bowl. So it's even more of a crapshoot with weather. But it looks like it's going to be in that 16, 17, 18, 19 degree, and that's perfect during the day, really. So
trying a new hotel this year. I'm kind of interested.
We are trying a new hotel this year. New to the program, not new. Well, we've stayed there a couple times. We went there for Patty Palooza. my brother's 50th golf trip. We stayed there. It was good times. So we're, we're moving to away from the Rio that has been our home for the last 8 years, not 7 years. And we're moving to the Horseshoe, a.k.a. Bally's. So just down the road a little bit on West Flamingo. But I like it. I think it's going to – it gives us some more opportunities and more choices for eating establishments. We don't have to eat at the All American Grill every meeting now. Every meal,
$97 for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'll tell you this, boys. Little research done. Did you know Blake Shelton, Dino, one of our favorite stops in Nashville is Old Red.
Yeah.
The establishment owned by Mr. Blake Shelton. They've opened an Old Red right beside the Horseshoe, a.k.a. Bally's.
Really?
Yeah. It is a three-tiered eating adult beverage establishment that overlooks the strip. And I think we may have a new spot to watch a little sports on TV or something.
Wow.
Does Vegas still have Jimmy John's?
It does. Jimmy John's right up the street from West Flamingo Fields. Yep.
Is it fair to say, not to make a pun here, but that the weather in Vegas is a gamble, boy? I think that I'm a people watcher, so the Vegas airport, in my opinion, is prime real estate to people watch. If we're on the strip, that's even better. But if you go to the Vegas airport, my favorite Vegas airport story is from our restaurant days. We had our AGMs in Vegas. We'd leave at 4 o'clock. Everyone's dressed up and ready to go, full of energy. You walk past the gate of people who have been in Vegas now for 5 days, and they are wearing sweatpants, and they look like life has beaten them a bit.
Yeah.
And you walk by them, and you think, oh, these poor guys. You know, look at them. But you don't realize that in 5 days, you are them.
That's you.
Yeah. 100%. So, tail tucked between your legs, a lot broker than you were when you got there.
Yeah.
A few less brain cells.
Sure. Yeah.
100%. 100%.
It's a fun place to watch people, for sure.
It is. It is. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to Vegas.
We got an 08, an 07, and then our older team going. So that'll be That'll be exciting.
And I like our teams. I mean, I think our sixes, like our older 18s, probably compare on par with some of the better teams that we've sent there. As far as the older teams, I think we're with our pitching, and I think we're in pretty good shape. I think our sevens are going to hit. They're going to hit, right? And then our eights, I think, you know, maybe the strength of that could be in the circle. I don't know, but I mean, we definitely have a loaded up staff for that team, and it's always interesting to see those players play against the older kids, right? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think the teams are set up to do really well. Actually, I was just texting with our good buddy Gordy Mark.
Oh yeah,
from the Little Rebels program.
A golf course. Yeah,
he is setting up our annual golf trips, and just asked how the teams are doing, and he asked how our team looked, and he said that his teams are a little bit younger this year, but. Look pretty good. So, and they're usually the team to beat. So it'll be fun.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Gordy Mark, Irma Alberta alumni, played in the Oilers organization, and he's still a very large individual.
Yes, he is.
He hasn't gotten any smaller.
Hey, we found the 222s uniform for him.
We did. He played with us last time when we went to Vegas. Our Masters team went to Vegas. Gordy suited up for us.
He almost had to go into first base when Tosh took that one off the knee.
Yeah, Laskowski hit one off my leg that I still don't walk properly.
I honestly can't. I don't remember ever seeing a harder hit ball. I really don't.
No,
that's
didn't cry.
For
no, you took it like a champ, I'll tell you that.
I wanted to cry, but yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want to give Laskowski the satisfaction.
I did not. Yeah. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
He's hit a ball or two in his
now career. That I know that you're not. You know,
dead and all. Didn't lose a leg. I'm just glad it didn't hit me in the knee.
Yeah.
Where did it catch you, Tosh?
Really close, right?
Oh, it hit me right in the quad.
Oh,
Right in the meaty part of the leg, hey?
Right in the meaty part of the leg. It hit me so hard, it bounced straight to the shortstop, and we still almost got the out.
Yeah. Well, I think that was because Laskowski stopped and went, oh, my gosh, I've killed somebody.
I killed Tosh. Oh, my God, I killed Tosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
It was something.
I hear there's a few of you boys maybe staying a couple days to watch that Oiler game that's in town right after we're done.
You mean the Edmonton Oilers that are currently on an 11-game heater? That Edmonton Oilers?
The Oilers that are 3 points out of first? Is that – you mean that Oilers?
Can I just say, because I know he's an avid listener, long time, he's been on the podcast a couple times, a coach in the program, but I may or may not have had a Michelob Light versus Miller Light bet with Mr. Chris Jones, avid coach, obviously, and huge Leaf fan.
Ah, poor guy.
So, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So we may have had a text exchange this morning.
Another come from behind win.
Yeah, wow. They're playing really well right now. Like, you know what? Slow starts, though, eh? Like 24 seconds in, I don't think the anthem singer, I don't think the red carpet was off the ice and it was 1-0.
Yeah.
Right? And then they hit the post with about a minute after that. Like, it could have been blown up. But I'll tell you what, I'm just saying it now and I'm just saying it. Stuart Skinner
is
a really, really good goaltender.
Yeah,
he's starting to come into his own. Like that save he made on the Swede yesterday. Like oh my God! Like it was. I'm part of the club.
One of those guys.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we need another goaltender. We need another like 1A, I think. And it would be nice. I'll tell you what. If we can add Corey Perry, I don't mind that ad. I mean. We'll fix the rest of it. And I think that if we can get another top four D-man, I think we're knocking on the door now. We still got some holes in the lineup. Like Darnell Nurse, like the
when
old
you say
Darnell
we,
Nurse.
Like, what do you mean by we?
Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah. So the Oilers, like the old Darnell Nurse showed up for a few shifts last night. It looked like he was wearing two left skates there once in a while. Like he almost fell down. He couldn't carry the puck. He coughed it up. But I am not swearing at the TV with his name on my lips as much as I was last year. So that's good.
That's growth right there. Yeah. Good growth.
Yeah, that's good growth. Yeah.
Interesting. So, anyways, not to talk about Oilers too much on a softball podcast, but Oilers Twitter might be the second most toxic place other than Leafs Twitter. But, you know, they make a coaching change and everyone's, you know, this got to happen. Something's got to happen. I get it. You can't fire 20 players. But I didn't think the coach was the issue. This new guy comes in, whether it's the systems they've put in or something, but they're defensively much smoother. Their goaltending's better. They're deeper. They look – it's crazy to think about what happened in November. And Edmonton as a city is trying to – fire sale everybody and get rid of Drysdale and make some moves, do something. Yeah. And now look at him. Like it's wild.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the one thing that doesn't, and I'm not, you know, I'm not on it as much as most people, I guess, but the one thing that doesn't get talked about, I don't think, and maybe every once in a while it does, but Paul Coffey.
No, stop it.
Paul Coffey being on the bench. Yeah.
Paul Coffey is amazing.
Paul Coffey being on the bench, man. That's got to help the D-man. You know, like you're talking to a guy who's been there, done that a million times, right? Like, Donnie, you hit it on the head. Their defense has changed, right? Evan Bouchard is not as soft as he was. And Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci are playing very well together, and they're kind of a shutdown pair right now. I mean, something to be said. What's his name? The big
Desjardins.
Desjardins, yeah. Wow, he's playing great too. Like, you know, anyways.
Dean, I know you're scoffing at Paul Coffey being on the bench, but don't you think Dean Holine on the bench helps any pitcher that he's with? I'm sure it does.
Who knows?
I know it does.
I like Coffey, and I just think we'll never know because was it just their time? Were they starting to figure it out? You know, or what? Like Tosh, you know more than me because I don't follow him that much. But did they change their entire system of play, or did they just a new day? All of a sudden, they started gaining confidence, and away they go. So, is it the coach, or is it just
who knows?
They start figuring it out themselves? Like these guys are professionals, right?
Yeah, Yeah, I think their best players started being their best players. You know, like, and McDavid was hurt at the beginning of the year, still playing through it. Now, did you see that play last night? Did you watch the game last night, boys?
Yeah.
Where he got the puck on the half wall and then did his old circle the old end zone. He was Mach 1 from top of the hash marks around everybody to the top of the next circle and hits the post. And it was like, it was unreal. Like, it was like a midget AAA kid playing against Adam hockey players.
Yeah, Connor McDavid and I have a little bit in common. We're both at full speed, one stride in, except for his is quite a bit faster than mine.
I thought you were going to say you're both male.
Yeah.
A lot of similarities there, in case you listeners are wondering. Yeah, very similar.
Yeah. So what about softball?
Where are we going? What's happening? Hey, what's going on in the men's side, Donnie?
What would you like to know?
What's going on there?
A lot of player movement on the men's side for sure. Obviously, the Gremlins.
More so than usual?
It looks like it. In the top six teams, for sure, a lot of players have moved. J&B folded, so their players all went to, like, Godoy went to the Chiefs. The Pirates picked up a few pretty big BC guys and a Czech pitcher. So, I mean, the top six teams are reshuffling for sure. The Gremlins will be good. The Chiefs will be good. I think we'll be really good. Bear Creek picked up Folkard, so that, like, they look obviously like they'll be very tough. So we got Mason and Schellenberg out of BC, which makes our lineup a lot thicker. And this Jonas
older, I would say.
Older.
Experienced, I would
thicker.
Say. Sure. Experienced. Yeah, experienced.
Yeah, you can't replace experience.
No.
So yeah, I think obviously Zippy and Bernsey on the mound with this young Jonas kid from the Czech. Zippy got married last year. Maybe fair to say he had a lot on his plate. So we expect him to have he's gonna throw the ball really hard. Obviously,
Breakout year.
There's a rumor flying around. I don't mind addressing it. We went after Devo pretty hard, and it looked like Circle Tap was gonna maybe pack it in. So their players are kind of looking for teams, and we went after Devo right away. And then I think as soon as Circle Tap kind of heard that there was teams interested, they decided to come back. So Circle Tap reloaded a bit too. They'll be being in Western Canada this year. I'm interested to see who shows up, because mostly it's in the Midwest, and you get a lot of U.S. teams. And I think we're going to see a lot of West Coast American teams that we haven't seen before. But a lot of these guys, some of the teams, the Chiefs obviously are always, you never count out Hill United. The Gremlins are the best, and they have been the best for years. They've got that Australian Besgrove kid who is as good as advertised. When we were in Green Bay last year, they were playing Bear Creek, and it was one of the better softball games I've ever seen. Cleary went toe-to-toe with Besgrove. So Mitch Stack and I went behind the fence and watched Besgrove throw, and his ball breaks incredibly hard, and he looks like a, like they just took cheese and turned back the clock. Just a great
thing. He's not even a man yet, boys. Yeah. He's not even a man yet. Just wait till he figures it out.
Wow. Like
figured it out. He's won. No, but he's won already. He hasn't even figured out the stuff that you do figure out as a pitcher as you're getting older. Like, I mean, he's ahead of his ahead of his time right now, for sure.
And obviously Greg and Varm, who we'll talk about Varm in a second here. Varm made a very interesting post about the World Juniors that we'll have to probably address. Obviously, the Americans
doubt. That tweet? The tweet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Varm was way out of line there. Yeah. He's definitely heard it, and he's going to hear it again.
Well, we'll probably have him on as a guest because he is nothing but entertaining for sure. He'll have to answer the bell on that with us. But that hitting lineup they've put together in New York is tough. So yeah, they'll be good. They'll be hard to beat for sure. Honestly, ISC's in that complex I think it's a nice. Other than Gordie Howe, maybe the nicest park in Canada. It's pretty sharp. The stadium diamond's nice. The secondary diamonds are nice. So only thing is, Rich Haldane, if you're listening, and I know you are, bud, you've got to figure out the beer garden situation. Nationals was an expensive time. Yeah. I was in an Oiler game the entire time. So I know he's gone it, and Rich is doing a hell of a job out there. And good to have some Western Canadian representation on that board.
Well, I'll throw this out there, Donnie, and I mean, I'm not. This is not a cut down of our facilities in Saskatoon, because we've talked many, many times on how we feel are the best on the planet, and I think the parks are. However, I think Softball City is a better venue for a tournament like that because all four fields are just ding, 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 ding right there, right? They all have decent seating. You've got the restaurant slash bar in the middle. The whole park is licensed. I think that for a tournament like that, if they can, and here's the thing, they hopefully for the organizers and everybody involved, that it gets successful. But, you know, for most ISC tournaments over the years, the days of the park being packed for the final day are kind of over. You know, like maybe at the Tap it was because the Tap is a special place to go to, but the days of Kindersley and Kimberley and Eau Claire and those places where there was more fan base, I just hope it doesn't turn into a whole bunch of teams there, obviously, for the first two or three days, and as teams drop off, they leave in the park. The crowds start to dissipate, right? Because the best ball is played later on in the week, right? So I just hope for the organizers that they support it. And BC, you know, in the past, like traditionally is a very, very strong softball area for the men's game. Like, you know, playing Dino, playing in Vancouver, me playing in Victoria. I remember in Victoria, you know, we went on a bit of a run on the B side. There was 3,000-4,000 people every game. Like it was packed. You
know, it was so good this summer to see some of the old boys like Rue, Hermie, like T. I look forward to that. That's always good. But
one thing they're trying to do, and I think they did a really good job, is probably starting to set it up. Is they're going to have team nights. There's going to be a Victoria Payless Legends night. There's going to be a Seattle Seafirst night, right? Where they're trying to get a bunch of these old players that played in that Northwest League that was arguably the best league on the planet at one time. All coming back. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, with ISCs being in Surrey and Nationals for the men's side being in Saskatoon, we'll get a good look at the two nicer venues in the country for the
biggest
tournament. Yeah. So that's good huge point. For us. Saskatoon, obviously, they started another team, the Jacks, which should make it interesting out of Saskatoon. So I'm interested to see what Razor and the boys do with those young guys. There's some talented kids still in Saskatchewan coming up, so they're the next probably group. All those Delisle kids moving over there, they'll be tough for sure. I think it'd be a good year for softball for sure. Really excited about what it looks like for the Pirates, which rumor is it might be one of our last years as a big group to go, so we're taking a pretty big run at it. But
so that means you got 5 years left.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a couple of years too, so I guess
Yeah, we may have heard that before in the podcast too.
Fair enough. Do you boys want to talk about any additions maybe your team might be looking at for Nationals?
Well, we got one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We figured out the import rule. We weren't quite sure how that worked, obviously, but we got that figured out a little bit. Craig Crawford is coming.
Podcast to the tomb. Alumni right there.
Yeah, he's going to play every position, that guy.
He is. He's going to – we're in probably in the same game.
But he better be in shape.
Yeah, Croft. That's right.
You're not going to see Tony Sparve playing second base this year or what?
In the final? Yeah. I don't know.
He didn't make any errors. He was fantastic there.
He was good there. And Sparve is coming back. So our pitching staff is intact. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what? You know what's really cool? And we didn't win, but it's good that we didn't. It's good for the game that we didn't win because, and the team that we played for Ontario and with Donnie and RT and, you know, like some of the guys we saw all the time, it was awesome to see those guys and Chally, you know, and they won. They won fair and square. However, I will throw this out there.
Go ahead.
A healthy two squad probably gives them a little more of a run than what we did in the final. You know, we were pretty close in the final with all of our pitchers in the game and a left-handed pitcher playing second base. We were still one or two plays away from maybe winning that game. Now, they did beat us three times that week.
Yes.
Right? So, and they did. They did beat us three times, and they earned every one of those wins. However, I think a healthy team, and that's one of the things I said to RT in the handshake. I congratulated him, and I said, you guys better come to Saskatoon to defend. You know, so it'd be good. You know, and maybe we are talking a little bit of crap here. And
absolutely.
Maybe get the rivalry going a little bit. But it'll be good to see. Hopefully they come back and try and defend like good defending champions should do. Because you know, and here's the other thing too. And I'll it's a little shout out to not only our guys, but the Grand Prairie Masters, the Pirates Masters team. Over the last 4 years, those are the only two teams that have been to every Nationals. Right. Yeah. So we have committed to traveling, and I know it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I get it's hard. Guys are on their own dime. It's not like the old days. And, you know, I totally understand that. But I think if the Masters game could grow, and let's face it, when the Masters are playing in Saskatoon, there's a lot of people out watching the old guys too. Now, the pace may not be there, but, you know, it's the same beer tent. It's the same beer tent. Right. So I think we could really develop something here. So it's a challenge to all those Masters teams out there, if they are listening, that, you know, start making your way to Saskatoon and start committing to going to national championships. Sorry. That'll cost me. Canadian championships. Yes.
And a good point. I know you guys, you've won so many times and you think Ontario winning is good for the game. Same as on our side. Ty Sebastian in Toronto beating the Noofs. The Noofs are unbelievable, and they've been unbelievable for a decade. And even as a player who plays against both teams, it was nice to see somebody other than the Noofs win. It feels like we got a shot, because when the Noofs
okay,
are
so
there, they're tough.
Let's talk about that for a second. Sure. Because we were back at our house already watching that epic, what did it go, 14, 15 innings?
Yeah. On an inside 15
innings. Run. Yeah. So, yeah. And the Noofs had played 19 games that day already?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, like, is there a call out there to say maybe even in the ninth, tenth inning that you go international?
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I know we played Nova Scotia in the semis, and we went international right away. And Schofield was throwing bullets, and the game ended quicker than, like, if we went, Stevie Norman was throwing for us and Scofield for them, and it would have went 20 innings too. Like, we just couldn't scratch it together. Yeah, I think you have to. I think I know the excitement of letting them play it out, but. That game, it was a four-hour rain delay. There was a ton of – so now these poor Noofs got to fly all the way across the country after that. That's a long day on the last day to go. So,
well, and you hear the stories of those games where, you know, Chubb and Undy go 22, or all these big-time throwers went these long games. And if you ask any of them, they probably say they weren't the same after that. Right? That's a lot. Like, Dino can maybe comment on that. And that's just the health of some of the better pitchers. Like, both pitchers went the whole way, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. And especially, you know, Cleary, how many innings did he throw that day? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot. And arguably you're putting that on the guy that, you know, is one of the best, if not the best in the country, that's going to lead our national team. And we're potentially putting him in a spot to get hurt, right? Yeah. And that's not right. So, yeah, I mean, it was exciting. Don't get me wrong, but it can be exciting in the 10th with international too.
A nice touch they had. Peter Labardius was there covering, and he's going to. We're talking about him a little bit because he's been a guest. He's one of our better guests. Super passionate, super knowledgeable. I don't know if there's a smarter sports mind in the world. Right. He's going to be involved with us a little bit in the next month or so. What do you guys
think? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
I wouldn't. I think we should.
Let's do it.
Dino, why don't you talk about it?
Talk about what? Our banquet coming up?
Yeah.
First
to celebrate. To celebrate how many years?
10, buddy.
That's crazy. That's crazy. We were just here just talking about taking two teams down to wherever we were going to go 10 years ago. It just flew by, but yeah, so we're really excited. We're going to get Peter back to help out with our banquet. And I don't know if it's, I know we've kind of let the cat out of the bag a little, telling a few people that we're going to have a banquet this year, but we're really, really excited about kind of having a kind of a year end, more so for our graduating people. And we just kind of have morphed it into what it's going to be this year. And I think, you know, obviously with the program doing what it's doing, it just could be an event that gets bigger and bigger each year. So pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Pete was, when we asked if he would come out and be our guest speaker and tell some stories for half hour or so, he jumped at it. He's pretty excited. Actually, he's got a new gig now, hey?
He does.
A little bit of painful for me to say. I actually had to swallow quite hard when he told me in the first place in Surrey. It wasn't quite out of the bag yet. Yeah, he's a scout for the Calgary Flames. And that hurts me a little, being an Oilers fan. He knows that. I voiced my opinion on that. He understands. But yeah, so he's actually coming out on the Friday. He's going to scout the Blade game. And then he's going to do our banquet Saturday night, maybe visit some family and have some beer and wings with the boys. And then he's heading to Langley to watch the Vancouver Giants on Sunday. So it worked out great for him, works out great for us. Couldn't think of a better person to be involved in the inaugural event. And yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
Talking about, I know you guys haven't probably even released this yet, but it'll be limited tickets for it, obviously. But if you are considering going to this, get him early because he is well worth the price of admission. Just to hear him talk will be worth it. The food doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. Just that in itself will be fantastic for the group. I think the kids and parents, when they see him, will be in awe. He is a very inspirational speaker. I think Peter is a fantastic guy.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Going
be
back
really
10
good.
Years. New logo maybe coming back. I heard a rumor. Anyway.
Well, it's not necessarily a real new logo, but it might be something we do a little bit differently or something we haven't done for quite a while. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Interesting really to talk about. A couple of alumni have come back to instruct and have gone on trips. And Maddie Garchinski, first twos player to get a scholarship. Carly Phillips, first Alberta girl to come to the program. They're coaching, and when you talk about what you did with teams back when they played, it was two teams, it was two tournaments, it was limited, and now it's just there's 400 kids at tryouts, there's 12 tournaments, there's four age groups. It's the program in 10 years. You guys should be really proud of what it has done and the name you've garnered.
I'm really proud of that, Donnie, and it's not for the reason that you say there's more and more and more. And you know, sometimes we get carried away with more and more and bigger and better and bigger and better. It's just when I think about opportunities, that's kind of where it kind of brings me back to, like, you know, we're creating opportunities for kids. That's what we're doing. You know, we're doing our best to teach. We're doing our best. And God knows I've learned. I keep learning as coaches, you know, as we go with different teams. And, you know, we keep getting better as coaches. We have to. But I think it's really exciting that we give opportunities to kids, and we're trying to find new places. We're trying to find new experiences. We're never, you know, status quo, just saying, okay, here we go again. You know, there's a lot of thought, a lot of behind the scenes stuff goes on. And, I know, people understand some of that, but it's become, something to be really proud about, but it takes a lot of work from a lot of people, and we've got a lot of great staff now that is helping do that, you know, take care of that as well for us, because Tosh and I are not great at some things. That's the way it is. And we're getting some people in there that are a little better than us to help with the weight. You know, that's the way it is.
Well, as you get bigger, you talk about somebody like Nevada or a Razor who are now looking after some scheduling and some tryouts and some winter training. Like you said, that as the program's getting bigger, you two can't be at everything. Having people in place that can run the program the way you want it to be run with your vision, it's huge. I talked to Mel Basilio, who my respect for her went through the roof. We were in California together, just talking to her about coaching and her saying things like, man, this program, like, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it across the country. So I'm really proud to be a part of it. And the people you're bringing in, the younger, the Maddies, the Carlies, the Greeners, the Carmens, they're fantastic. And the way the kids respond differently to different coaches, it gives them all a different perspective and a different approach maybe. It is so much fun. And like, we got team practice this weekend, super excited about it in Saskatoon. We had Pitching Factory for the first time in Edmonton, and 25 kids come out to Hitting Factory in minus 100 degree weather. And it was one of the smoother run events I've ever been to with the twos. But I'm going to poke at Tosh just for a second. Not a poke, but a compliment sandwich, if you will. The first one was, hey, let's talk about the swing. I'm not going to talk much, but let's get through the swing. That was 50 minutes of the hour and a half session was talking about the swing, where Tosh did preface it by saying, I'm not going to talk too much. Almost an hour. So I'm not sure if Tosh is aware of the time frame, but the
right. Yeah.
That's a long one, but the pickup from that talk from we did Saturday and Sunday. The improvement from Saturday to Sunday based on the line drill, based on some of the just mechanics of the swing, simplifying it a bit, kids were just smashing the ball within two days. So, Tosh, that's the compliment sandwich. You did a hell of a job instructing them. You talked more than you said. But the light bulbs that went off with these kids were – it was crazy. It was really good to see.
Well, and thank you and – and bite me all at the same time. But you're right. And I mean, I say it all the time. I could talk hitting forever. But the thing that I will say that kind of goes along with both of those with our program, and Dean says we don't do all the things well, and he is absolutely right with that, is that the brand itself, that's the thing I'm most proud of, is the brand itself. And the brand, when in the beginning, 222s was me and the big guy, and we went to everything, and people knew kind of who we were because we had just kind of retired and whatever else. Now I believe the brand, the 222s brand, is bigger than the two of us, which is awesome because we have an amazing group of instructors. It just gets better and better and better. We're spending some time on training. We're spending some – I just think that even Dino and I have evolved to the point where, you know, I talk about hitting. I've probably changed three times in the last 10 years on some of the key points that I think are important, just based on us getting better and really diving into what coaching is all about and different techniques to teach kids how to do these things and, you know, teaching, you know, five kids five different ways the same thing. I mean, we've gotten a lot better at that. But that, I think that just goes back to the fact that we are not arrogant to the point where we think we know it all, because we don't. And if we don't know, we get people in that do know. Chris Jones, Mel Basilio, Kaylee Rafter, Larissa Franklin. Like, I mean, you bring these people in, and then you start to glean off them some of the things that they're teaching. And they may be teaching the skill, the same skill, but they have a different spin on it. And I think that is probably that's the thing I'm most proud of, is that this program has become very nimble over the years and not arrogant enough to know or think that we know it all, because we don't. And I think that is really important. And like Dino said, it's creating opportunities, just doing more for the kids. And that's our goal. Like, that's for me, the most proud thing I have is every time I see one of our kids do a signing and their picture goes up on our social media or they send us a picture, or a kid that's at school right now sends a hitting video. Hey, Tosh, what are you seeing? Or that's where my pride goes, is the fact that we've had an influence and given some kids some opportunities that maybe they weren't even looking at before they came to the program. Did I talk too long again, Donnie?
No. That was very insightful talk. That was nice, actually. It was good.
Yeah. I get fired up. I get passionate about it. And I'm so happy with where we're at right now, especially with all the great people like yourself. And you mentioned Carly. And here's one thing for you. Here's a stat for you. So two teams. Out of the 17 teams that have gone before Christmas, two. Have not had an alumni on staff.
Yes.
Only two. Mel coached with me and you coached with Ferrandani. Every other team has had an alumni standing in the first base coach's box. That to me is unreal. That is so cool. So cool.
Well, interesting, because we had Tosh and I had the privilege to have a dinner with Lindsay Mayo and another alumni going back to college. And she made mention of, hey, how long do you think after I'm done playing that Tosh and Dino asked me to come coach? I'm like, well, I'm surprised they haven't asked you yet. Probably. So that's the thing. The kids are now looking at it as an opportunity to stay in the game and stay in the program they love. When Raven came to Nashville, she gave a pretty, pretty emotional speech about what the program meant to her as a family, and told the girls. She was 1 year out of the program. telling the girls, hey, enjoy these moments because you don't realize how good they are until they're not there. And now she wants to come back and instruct because the program just means so much to the, all the kids. So I think these alumni are going to come back and, yeah, they'll make, well, certainly your two jobs, Razor and mine, Farron, all the old fellas who are still here, they're going to make it a hell of a lot easier because they're so good and so passionate. And I think that's what probably makes the staff so good with this program is that everybody loves ball so much and everybody cares about the kids so much. It makes it pretty easy to put in the time. So even for me, driving from Lloyd to Saskatoon or Edmonton, that's nothing. I'll do that all day for these kids just because I want them to do well.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing about the alumni staff is they are not asking our kids to do anything different than what they did. Their work ethic, everything that they have done to get to where they are at school, that's exactly what they're asking of our kids. And it's not us, as in me, Dino, Donnie, Razor, Farron, that are beating that drum. We don't have to anymore because the kids that have lived it and done it, they're the ones beating the drum right now, which is, it's awesome. You just sit back and like the other proud moment that you think about is when we go around the circle at the end of a practice or the end of a session and you go around and all the coaches have their talk. It's getting to the point now where our alumni staff are the accountability piece where they're holding the players now players accountable is awesome. It is so awesome because they're looking at them going, hey, that's not good enough, or hey, that was really good, or you know, it's so cool to see that. And there's going to be some amazing coaches in the next couple 3 years that if they want to go on and do summer stuff or whatever, that they're going to be, it's going to be amazing. So
for sure,
to your point, like for me coming up in the game, looking up to you and Dino, obviously, like that's as in the guys game, that's the top of the mountain. So for me, Razor, all you guys, it's just played against you forever and always wanted to be in that position. But when we coach these girls and then they see Maddie or Carly or Jordy Chartrand comes back or whoever, well, that's what they actually want to do. They're looking at kids now who've come through the program, have gone to school. That's what these kids all want to do. So as good as maybe your guys' resumes and even mine to a lesser extent, but still, it's great. But the girls that they're now seeing have taken the path that these girls all want to take. So it probably lends itself a little bit more to their motivation, for sure, when they can come back from school at Christmas time and these kids are coming to work Frosty Fundamentals or Twos Week or all these things. And all these U-12s and U-14s are looking up to the Jordy Chartrands and the Kat Baines and the Devin Ritzes who have come through and think, oh, my God, like that's where I want to be.
So, well, the cool part of it is, I mean, they're down there learning different things from coaches and the things we can't teach them. So they might have had to change a few things. They might have had to tweak a few things, you know, from what we taught back when they left the program. But, you know, they know how they dealt with it. They know how to give the advice to the kids that are now just going off to college and say, hey, be prepared. You might have to change a few things. Like, we don't have that. That's not our experience.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think the program's in better shape than it's ever been. I'm pretty happy with it. Love being a part of it. So thank you, fellas, for bringing me in. But we're at almost at an hour, which is wild because we haven't done a podcast.
Insightful. Yeah.
Not the best color man in the league for nothing.
But we're at an hour. So we're going to, I don't know if you guys remember, it's been so long, but at the end of the podcast, we do a parting shot. And I don't know if you guys have thought about your parting shot yet, but I'm going to start with mine if I can.
And
it's not a parting shot as much as it is tip of the cap. With our new instructors, there's been some new phrasings come out through practice, through tournaments, through games. And you'll know who I'm talking about almost immediately. But I want to say it was in Sacramento. I remember being in the hotel lobby. And I want to say it was Morgan. Maybe it wasn't Morgan Knight. It was somebody, though, said, love you, bye. And I turned around and I'm like, what? Who's saying love you bye? Went to practice and every kid, love you bye, love you bye, love you bye. And I turn around and Carly Phillips is laughing hysterically at every time it happens. Like it's the first time she's ever heard it. Apparently that's her thing. But the kids have adopted it and ran with it like it's the newest thing. These kids catch on to trends, obviously. That's the part of the group that we would never have done. But I heard Razor say it the other day, and I honestly, it was the weirdest thing I've ever heard, but I laughed, and I thought, huh, If Razor's buying in, I've heard Tosh say it a time or two. Interesting.
Not to you, though.
Nope.
Never said that to a grown man before in my life.
Nope. Haven't yet.
No. But Razor said it to you?
He has, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Which is all interesting.
Right. Hey, whatever. It's all good.
I don't hate that. I think it's great.
No?
So I just think that the younger coaches are bringing in some different verbiage, maybe. And it's fun, and the kids love it. And so good for Carly and Maddie and Razor for adopting that and running with it, and the kids for – so just – as a side note, at team practice this weekend, fellas, I want you to sit back and think about how many times you hear that said. It's going to be said probably in the 20s.
Okay.
Is my over-under.
My first thought to that would be, we brought you in. We can take you out. So it's something we don't like.
My thought was too, is how do we stop it?
Yeah,
and we just bring it up and we same thing.
Love you, bye. See love you later.
Love you, bye. Like we could bring it up in our circle when we do our last thing. Yeah. If I ever hear this again. Mm-hmm. No, it's
just
awesome.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Who's okay. Next? I can go. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's an oldie but a goodie. I'm gonna take a rip at Air Canada. And I don't usually do that. And it's, you know, it's funny. I don't usually take a rip at Air Canada. I usually defend them because everybody talks about WestJet and blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, I'm an Air Canada guy. I'll stay with Air Canada. Thank you very much. So I was in going to Calgary. Working with the adrenaline program with their coaches, thanks to Jamie Olson and the guys and gals, it was awesome to go out and talk coaching with those folks. But anyways, after those 2 days, we also had a regional practice in Edmonton, and then the first two hitting factories that Donnie had talked about. So I thought, well, I'll just fly up and do those and come home. Well, in their infinite wisdom, Air Canada has gotten rid of the direct flights between Saskatoon, Calgary, Saskatoon, and Edmonton. So we have to fly to either one of those places or home from either one of those places. We have to go through Vancouver. Whatever. It's extra segments. As many people know, Dino and I love our segments. So set up the flights. I'm flying to Saskatoon. I get to Saskatoon at 5:30 a.m. I'm supposed to be into Calgary at 10 in the morning, which is awesome because my session doesn't start till 6 o'clock. Get some work done, maybe a nap, maybe a pregame. So I get there, and my phone goes off. Bing! You have been upgraded. What a great start to the day. Awesome. I get my upgrade. This is fantastic. It's awesome. It's awesome. This is fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, almost dead there. So it's fantastic. So 10 seconds after that, bing, your flight is delayed 2 hours. All right, so I'm in the lounge, so I go to the lady at the front. She offers me, well, you could fly WestJet direct if you want. I can put you on that one. I said, no, you know what? I'm good. I still make my Vancouver connection. My timing's still good, blah, blah, blah. She goes, great. Bing! Another hour later, it's delayed another 2 hours. So now I'm going to miss my Vancouver. So I went and she, no, it's okay. I'll put you on the later Vancouver flight. So I still get into Calgary at like 3:30, which is fine. I still have time. Bing! Delayed again. Now this is going on. It's close to, it's getting close to noon. Like it's getting close to noon now, right? And now my Air Canada flight is not leaving at this time. I will not make my Vancouver connection. So I zip this. I'm at the gate now. So I zip back to the lounge. And long story short, they put me on the WestJet flight. So I get on the WestJet. This is a rip at WestJet too, a little bit. I get on the WestJet flight. And I sit on the tarmac in Saskatoon for almost an hour because the baggage, they can't figure out. They can't figure out the de-icer, whoever fault it is. I don't care. I get into Calgary. I'm running. I didn't check my bag, so I'm running down the stairs. Jamie picks me up. We go to the facility. I'm 5 minutes late getting going. Okay, got it going, whatever. Now I'm flying to Edmonton 2 days later. I get up, I check in my flight the night before, everything's going on schedule, blah, blah, blah. I get to the lounge, bing, just before I got my picture taken with Kelly Rudy, by the way, ooh, bing, phone goes off, I'm delayed. All right, no big deal. I'm going to Edmonton. It's one flight, big deal. Bing, delay, okay, just keeps getting delayed. So now I now I go to customer service and I said, look, I just need, and I need to know, am I going to get to Edmonton today on one of these flights? And she gave me that look of, I don't know, sir. Like, it's really cold, weather snap, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Well, prior to going to the Air Canada desk, I went onto the Costco website that we always go on to book cars, and I booked a car just in case for 2:30. It's 1 o'clock. The lady says what she says. So I said, okay, well, I'll cancel my flight. Well, we can't cancel your flight. Oh, okay. Why is that? Well, because you're not on a flight yet because your other flight has been canceled. So they're rebooking you. I said, okay, so when will that happen? She goes, it'll happen in the next half hour or so. I said, okay. So when the email comes, then I can just cancel my flight. Yes, you can do that. So I thought, okay, well, fine. I'm getting in a car and I'm going to drive to Edmonton. And when my email comes, da 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 da. The email didn't come, Donnie. The email didn't come till 8:30 that night that I was being rebooked at 9 a.m. the next day. So if I would have stayed, I wouldn't have made hitting factory, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad I drove. So now I've got to get on, but now I've got to cancel my flight because I can't just not show up because then I don't get reimbursed for the flight or credited or whatever. I am on hold. So we went for one bevy and wings, correct? I got back to the hotel at about 10:30-ish, somewhere in there, give or take. I was on hold till 4 a.m. And the music just kept going. Finally, to the point, I'd watch Draft Day just to try and stay awake. Finally, I just put my phone on the side table, and I woke up to a gentleman calling my name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which has happened many times.
Too many times.
So I canceled my flight at 4 in the morning for 9 a.m. Okay, great. Now the 3 days are over in Edmonton. I'm now flying from Edmonton, Vancouver, back to Saskatoon. I'm supposed to be in Saskatoon at 6:15. I got to my house at 1:20 a.m. Like, what a gong show. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. For the first time ever, I am going to write an email to Air Canada because you can get reimbursed for things being too late. I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell them the whole story, whether I get money or not. And I have never done that. I've never said, I just always said, okay, whatever. It is what it is. That's air travel now. But that was ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I know I've got some friends. Marty Burgess works for Air Canada. Not your fault, Marty. But wow, it was unbelievable. Yes, weather. I get it. I understand all that. But wait, there's more.
Oh, great.
So last night, I used some points and I paid for an upgrade. It was points and $75 to fly from Vancouver to Saskatoon to get upgraded, right? So I thought, you know what? It's been a long day. I'm going to do that. I'm going to upgrade. There was like 7 spots open, blah, blah, blah. So I get on there. I get my upgrade, which is fantastic. Delayed because they're trying to put some bags on. Then we're delayed that this couple comes on, and don't get me wrong, I'm not cold-hearted here by any means, but this kind of ticked me off. So they hold the plane for this couple to get on there. Obviously, it's the last flight to Saskatoon, so all these flights have been canceled. They're trying to get people on this flight. Totally understand it. They get on, and the lady is visibly upset, older lady, visibly upset, her and her husband, probably don't, and by the looks of things, they don't air travel a lot. So they were asking a bunch of questions of the flight attendant. The flight attendant says, what seat are you in? We're in 21 A and C. Okay. So he goes, okay, just start walking down the aisle. I'll take you to your seats. They start walking. I am in the third row. There's 4 rows in business class. He stops and says to him, oh, just sit here. I'm like, okay. She's upset, and she's upset because her daughter is unable to get on the flight because the flight is full. Okay. I get it. If it was my kid being left behind, I'd be upset too. 100%. So they hold on. And the flight attendant says to the lady coming on, like the gate agent, sorry, coming on, says, I will override and approve the upgrade. Just get her on the plane. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm picturing some teenager coming in, whatever. Okay, totally get it. I'm not happy about it in that they have seats back there, and if they need to open a seat up, then they should go to the next 50K or whoever to upgrade them, because I've paid for my upgrade, right? It wasn't a freebie this time. I paid for it. So I'm waiting patiently. No, not so patiently. And the child, in quotes, walks on. She's my age.
Okay.
And I'm like, come on, man. Come on, man. And where does she sit? First row, first class. No, first row, first class.
Okay.
Yeah, not happy about that. And that's going to go in my report, Air Canada.
Report, yeah.
Yeah, my report. But anyways, I wasn't happy about that.
No.
So, yeah, call me not caring, call me whatever you want, but I just didn't think that was right. They had seats on the plane. They needed one more seat. Then you take somebody that you can upgrade, just upgrade them and give them the other seat. Because there's people in first class or in business class, and don't take this the wrong way. I'm not trying to be that guy, but those people paid for it. And these persons obviously had seats. So that's my rip at Air Canada.
You're right,
Donnie. Sometimes I do talk too long. Here it comes.
So I forgot what my parting shot was going to be. You know, I think I would love to see the novel that you come up with, because this is probably you summarized what happened, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's a short version.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to be a little quicker because obviously I have to.
And we're running out of time like we did already once today.
So, we'll not talk about it. We'll fix it in editing.
Yeah. My shot's against us. Our three. I think we got to hold ourselves accountable here too. We're going to do this podcast. I think we've got to, we can't go 6 months or 7 months in between. I think we've got to decide, okay, if this, and I think it's a great thing. I think it's, another thing that talks about softball and keeps things rolling. But I think we got to be a little bit better on, there's a lot of great people that probably have some insight that we could bring in, and, they don't need to listen to our banter necessarily quite as much as what they just heard in the last 15 minutes. particularly. So I guess it's a little bit of a parting shot at one person.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
But no, I just think we got to get better, boys. And I think there's lots of people that like you say, have reached out and said, hey, you guys going to get some more people on your podcast? I think we definitely got to do that. And we think got to stick to it. Got to have a little bit more stick to itness.
Stick to this. You know what, Dino? It's a lot with different things in our program where we've kind of let the reins loose a little bit and had other people just kind of take over some stuff.
Right.
So if we had somebody on this podcast that, like you or me, that could just say, you know what, I'm going to schedule this, and I'm going to do it, boys, and I'm just going to take over. And
those people are hard to find.
I'm going to run with this.
To be fair, we had a nice chat a couple weeks ago after the instructor practice, and we actually formulated a plan to do it on. Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be Tuesdays after your guys' meeting. Technical difficulties on Tuesday, but we have one scheduled for next week already. So we actually have it scheduled. So I think we might have another one next week, and if that goes well, guess what? Another one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Apologies to our listeners, and come on back. We're here, and it's going to be as funny as ever. And I will guarantee one technical mess up every week, and great stories. Those are my guarantees to you.
That's fair enough.
Fair.
Are we good? We're putting good. This one in the can.
Yeah.
A little editing here or there.
Well, we have to have splice it together. Yeah, you bet. We'll work on the timing next week. We'll get better.
All right. Enough said. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Goodnight.